Morning. So nice to see all of you. Baruch Hashem, the restrictions are slowly beginning to ease here in the state of Israel. All of a sudden, stores are opened. My kids all went back to school. Baruch Hashem, even shuls are officially allowed to open as of this morning with some guidelines in place, of course. And all of a sudden, we're able to see one another again. This shiur is taking place, obviously, via Zoom, but it's Hashem. Hopefully soon they'll open up the OU Center and we'll be able to learn together from one another in person. And with the ease of restrictions and the fact that now we'll be able to get together and see one another in shul, etc., an interesting and relevant question is, should one recite the bracha of Shehecheyanu when seeing a friend or a family member that you haven't seen in some time? So the source for this is the Gemara in Brachot, and Daf Nun Chet, Amud Bet. If you'll allow me, I'll put it up here on the screen in just a minute. Share screen. Where is it? Oh, okay. Let's try that again. Some reason want to let me share the screen here. Share screen here. Oh, okay, got it. I appreciate your patience, and even with all of the Zoom classes I'm teaching, it still takes a little time to get used to the program. So here in source number one, I trust you all can see it. Here's a Gemara in Brachot Daf Nun Chet Amud Bet. Okay, so the Gemara begins, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Haro'et chaveiro la'achar shloshim yom. Someone who sees a friend, we'll have to define what exactly that means, but someone who sees a friend, presumably that he hasn't seen or she hasn't seen in 30 days, Omer, they say, Baruch shehechiyanu v'kimanu v'yiganu lazman hazeh. The bracha that we're all familiar with, the bracha of Shehecheyanu, blessed are you Hashem, who's kept us alive, sustained us, brought us to this season. This is a bracha that, as we all are familiar with, we make on a holiday, a festival, upon performing a seasonal mitzvah, a mitzvah that we observe or perform from time to time, upon eating a new fruit. And the Gemara here says also when you see someone that you haven't seen for 30 days. Okay, the Gemara then continues and says, La'achar shnemasar chodesh. But if 12 months have lapsed or elapsed, if there's been a lapse of 12 months, if 12 months have gone by, Omer, he says, Baruch mechaye hameitim, a different bracha. Okay, blessed are you Hashem, who resurrects the dead. We'll have to explain why that is. You know, why is there a difference if you haven't seen a person in 30 days versus an entire year? If an entire year goes by, it's a different bracha. Why is that? Well, Gemara actually goes on to give us some inkling as to why, at least there's a bracha that's made over the period of 12 months that have elapsed. And the Gemara continues and explains that Amar Rav, or Rav said, Rav explains that Ein Amet Mishtakeach min halev ela la'achar 12 chodesh. That the mate, the deceased, is only forgotten from the heart after 12 months. That's why, of course, the period of mourning for a parent, the maximal period of mourning is 12 months. Not that chas v'shalom a person is ever forgotten. We don't believe that a person's ever forgotten, but after 12 months, the pain begins to subside. A person begins to heal. And there is this idea that after 12 months, the mate is forgotten. And the Gemara here brings a pasuk, or Rav brings a pasuk, Shneemar, a pasuk from Tehilim, Mizmor Lamed Aleph, chapter 31, that Shneemar, Nishkachti kmeit milev, hayiti kichli oved. I have become forgotten as the dead, as a mate, as a deceased is forgotten from the heart. Hayiti kichli oved. I've become like a lost object, a lost vessel, a lost kli. Okay, so what's the comparison to the kli? Well, as you know, the halacha is that we can assume after 12 months have lapsed, after 12 months have gone by, there's been ye'ush, a person gives up or forgets, so to speak, about the lost item. Okay, so that's how Rashi understands this Gemara or this Pasuk, how Rav is using this Pasuk, how Rav invokes this Pasuk, that after 12 months, just as after 12 months, we say that a person gives up on finding an item that he lost, so too, after 12 months, the mate, the niftar, is, so to speak, forgotten. As I said, not really forgotten, but at least the pain subsides. Okay, so that would explain why after 12 months there's a special blessing, or we make the blessing of Mechaye Meitim. We still have to try to understand, you know, the difference between Mechaye Meitim and Shechianu, that after 30. Continues with an incident and relates how once Rav Papa v'Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua havu kazlei be'orcha. Once Rav Papa and Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, they were walking on the way, they were traveling. Pagu be'i Rav Chanina b'Reid Rav Ika, and so they met Rav Chanina, the son of Rav Ika. Amru lei, and they said to him, b'hadei dichazinach barchina nalach tarte. Since we saw you, or we see you, we're going to make two brachot over you. What are these two brachot? So the first bracha that they make is Baruch Asher Chalak Me Chochmato Lirei'av. The bracha that one makes upon seeing someone who is exceptionally wise, a big Talmud Chochom, a big Torah scholar. Okay, so the bracha that they made over him is, you know, blessed are you, God, King of the universe, who has given of his wisdom, chalach me chochmato, given of his wisdom to those who fear him. And then, v'heshechianu, and they also make the bracha of shechianu. Why? Because obviously they hadn't seen Rav Chanina in 30 days. So they make two brachot. One bracha, to bless Hashem, who bestows of his wisdom to Talmidei Chachamim, and then another bracha, because they haven't seen their friend in 30 days. Okay, again, the Gemara that we began with this morning is Haroet Chaveiro Lachar Shloshim Yom. So presumably, right, presumably, Rabbi Chanina was the friend of Rav Papa and Rav Huna. So, a number of questions. Again, you know, what's the difference between 30 days and 12 months? What's the difference in the nature of the bracha of Shechianu versus Mechaye HaMeitim? We'll come back to that. But then, who is this bracha reserved for, right? Just what type of friend are we talking about? The Gemara simply says, Haroe et Chaveiro, someone who sees his friend. You know, what if it's someone that you've never met before, right? What if it's someone that you've been in contact with, you know, maybe writing letters, corresponding with? This is something, by the way, that the post can talk about. But you haven't actually met them. So Tosfot there quotes the Ri here in source number two. Omer Ri dafka chaviro ha-chaviv alav. That when the Gemara says a person sees a friend who he hasn't seen for 30 days, he makes his brach of Shechiaru. According to the Ri, that's dafka a close friend, chaveiro ha-chaviv alav, that he really is his beloved, his good friend, his confidant, okay? But someone else, you wouldn't make this bracha upon. And that's very important. We're going to come back to that point. Because again, you know, maybe there's an element of subjectivity. Who is a good friend? How do we define a good friend for the purposes of making this blessing? And as you all know, when it comes to blessings, when it comes to brachot, we're cautious. We often say safek brachot lahakel. If I'm unsure, if I'm uncertain, if I'm in doubt whether or not to make this bracha, we err on the side of caution and we do not make brachot. So that's something that we're also going to have to revisit. But this is how Tosfot rules here in source number 2. This is how the Rosh rules. This is how Rabbeinu Yonah rules. And this is how the Shulchan Aruch rules here in source number 3. That when the Gemara says, if you haven't seen your friend in 30 days, you make the bracha of Shechianu, we're talking about dafka, a close friend, a good friend. And here, I put the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Reish Chaf Hei, where he talks about the bracha of Shechianu. He writes, Haro'ed chavero lachar shloshim yom, omer Shechianu. Again, this is what we saw in the Gemara. A person sees his friend after 30 days have elapsed. He makes the bracha of Shechianu. After 12 months, he makes the bracha of Mechaye Meitim. And then the Shulchan Aruch, as we saw in Tosfot, qualifies that and defines what is a friend. Vehu shechaviv alav harbeh. And that is a friend that is a close friend, that is very beloved to him, v'sameach b'riyato. And here, again, he gives another qualification, or he explains it a little further, even further. This is when he is happy or joyous in seeing his friend. Okay? So the bracha of Shechianu, of course, is a bracha that's made upon occasions of joy. So, since the bracha of Shechianu is reserved for moments of great joy, it's reserved for close friends, and as the Shulchan Aruch explains, reserved for a time or a moment when a person is elated upon seeing their friend. Okay? And I put here in source number 5, the Gra. The Gra says, you know, the Gra doesn't have to go as far as Tosfot or the Rosh or Rabbeinu Yonah. The Gross says, this is the pshat from the Gemara itself. Interesting, here in source number 5, the Gross says, go back to the story of Rav Papa and Rav Huna and Rav Chanina, and it's obvious that Rav Papa and Rav Huna made this blessing upon seeing Rav Chanina because he was their close friend. So according to the Gra, this idea of this blessing being reserved for seeing a close friend, a good friend, and a time when a person's especially elated can be learned out from the Gemara itself and how the Gemara continues and relates that incident that we saw. So that's the Gra. Okay, fine. Simple enough. This is how we paskin. We assume that if a person hasn't seen a close friend in 30 days and sees them and is elated, they should make this blessing. But as many of you know, we're not nohag to make this blessing today. We don't do it. So I'll have to come back to that question also a little later on this morning. Why don't we make this blessing today? But first, just a very practical question. You know, what does it mean that you haven't seen an individual in 30 days? What does that mean exactly? With modern means of communication, phones, email, WhatsApp, FaceTime, Zoom, etc., it's very possible that you will have seen or at least heard from your friend within 30 days, right? No. Unfortunately, over the past couple of months, we've been self-isolating, we've been in lockdown and quarantine. We haven't seen one another, but we've certainly been in contact with one another, been in contact with friends and family over the phone, email, WhatsApp, FaceTime, Zoom, okay? So it's very possible that one will have, you know, seen or at least heard from his or her friend within 30 days. So what does this mean exactly? And would you still make the bracha when you meet after 30 days? It's a good question, right? What if I see you, Mirtz Hashem, next Wednesday morning at the OU Center in person? Should I make the bracha of Shechianu? We just saw one another this morning. Or, you know, you get together with a friend finally for a cup of coffee when the cafe is finally open. And you just spoke with them last night on the phone, right? So you know that they are alive and well and Baruch Hashem, healthy. So what's the geder? What are the parameters for these blessings? So take a look here. I'll put it up on the screen once again. Take a look at the Mishnah Brura. Mishnah Berurah in source number 4. Okay? So the Mishnah Berurah says, the im kibel mimenu ktav. If you received from the individual, from your friend, a letter. Right? As I mentioned, the post can talk about getting a letter. You've been in contact, you've been in written contact. Osha anashim hodi'uhu mishlomo, or other individuals make known the welfare of your friend. They say, oh yeah, you have drishat shalom from your buddy Reuven, your buddy Chaim, he says hello. Or they tell you that he is well. Oh yeah, yeah, your buddy Chaim, oh yeah, I know you haven't seen him in a while. He's fine. Okay? So either if you've received the letter from the individual, you've been in contact, there's been some correspondence, or you've been made known, you've heard of his welfare, of his well-being. Yesh de'ot ba'achronim, the Mishnah Berurah says there are opinions among the achronim, that you don't make this bracha. You would not say the shechianu. And he adds, v'safek brachot l'hakel. And we know that when it comes to making blessings, we err on the side of caution. When there is a doubt, when there is a safek, when it's not clear whether a person should make this blessing or not. In other words, when the Chachamim Institute was the intent that you should make the blessing because you're happy that they're still alive because you haven't heard from them in 30 days, right? Or is the intent, no, you're just happy to see them, to share that experience, to see them face to face. And maybe even if you have been in contact with them, maybe even if you have heard from them or have heard about them, that they are fine. So that is the machloket here. Okay, and the Aruch HaShulchan here in source number 6, Aruch HaShulchan explains, as do a number of achronim, that this is actually the difference between the two blessings that Chazal instituted. This is the very difference between the blessing of Shehechianu and the blessing of Mechayei HaMeitim. That the blessing of Mechayei HaMeitim, that was instituted, and you can already see from the language or the words of the blessing itself that you're thanking Hashem who resurrects the dead, who revives the dead. According to the Aruch HaShulchan and others, that blessing was instituted to be said when you didn't know the welfare of your friend. You hadn't been in touch with them for 12 months. Back then, if you didn't hear from someone for 12 months, who knows? Who knows what happened to them? Chas v'shalom, they could have died in the interim. They could be lost at sea, Who knows? Without the miracle of modern forms of communication, the world was a very different place. Today, we live in this very small world, this global village where we're constantly in touch with one another, and we hear Chas v'shalom immediately if something happens to someone that we know, we love, we care about, we hear almost immediately. It's on Facebook, it's on WhatsApp, we get messages, people text us. But back then, if you didn't hear from someone for 12 months, so then when you see them, oh, you make the Mechayei HaMeitim, thanking Hashem that this person is still alive. So the Aruch HaShulchan and others explain that this is the inherent difference in these two blessings, that the Mechayei HaMeitim, that's when you haven't heard from a person and who knows what happened to them, okay? And therefore, conversely, if you have been in touch with a person, writing letters back and forth, or if you've heard from the person, or you've heard about the person, you've heard about their welfare, their well-being, you would not make the Mechayei HaMeitim. However, the Aruch HaShulchan explains that the bracha of Shehechianu is very different. The bracha of Shehechianu has nothing to do with the welfare of the individual, or whether you've been in contact or not. The bracha of Shehechianu, after having not seen an individual for 30 days, is made upon the simple, sublime pleasure of being in the presence of a good friend after a lapse of 30 days. And so here, take a look at verse number 6. The Aruch HaShulchan writes the following. Haro'et chaveiro shechaviv alav v'sameach b'riyato. As we saw in Tosfot, in the Shulchan Aruch, we're talking about a friend that is very beloved to you, a close friend, and you are happy upon seeing them. V'sameach b'riyato me'od. He is very happy upon seeing him. Me'od, the Aruch HaShulchan adds. Right? The language of the Shulchan Aruch is just sameach b'riato. The Aruch HaShulchan adds that you're very happy. Ma'od. Im yesh lo shim yom shelo ra'ahu, mevarech shechianu b'shem u'malchut. By the way, here the poskim point out that we're talking about making the blessing with Hashem's name, b'shem u'malchut, Hashem Elokeinu. Okay? If you don't say it b'shem u'malchut, maybe then it's not really considered a bracha. However, as we'll get to in a few moments, there are poskim that say that nowadays the custom is not to say it, or at the very least, to say it without shem u'malchut, okay, without God's name. But the Aruch HaShulchan adds here, v'im lo ra'u shem asachodesh mevarech mechaya meitim, as we saw in the Gemara, if 12 months have passed, you make the blessing of Mechaya Meitim. V'az eino mevarech shechianu, and you would not say shechianu. V'zehu kishelo haya michtavi mimenu alav. Oh, and that's if, meaning the bracha of shechianu, excuse me, the bracha of Mechaya Meitim would not be said, what? So long as there were not letters, there wasn't correspondence between the two of them. But if he received the letter, he would not say the bracha of Mechayim Meitim. Okay? Again, why? Because Mechayim Meitim, that's about the welfare of the individual. Well, if you've been corresponding with the individual, you know that they're well, and you know that they're alive and well. So you don't have to make the bracha of Mechayim Meitim. Aval inyan shechianu ein chiluk dafilu kibel michtav betoch lamed. The Aruch HaShulchan points out that this has nothing to do with Shechianu. Even if you got a letter within 30 days, you would still make the bracha of Shechianu, because Shechianu is not about the individual being alive and well. As he continues and writes, where I've underlined, V'atam debirkat Shechianu hi mitoch simchat hari'iya panim bipanim. The reason why Chazal instituted this blessing of Shechianu when seeing a friend is mitoch simchat hariyat panim bepanim. It's because of the sublime joy seeing an individual face to face. So according to the Aruch HaShulchan, if a person hasn't seen their friend or a member of their family because of this lockdown, because of the self-quarantine or the self-isolation, and all of a sudden, after 30 days, they see them, even if they've been in contact, even if they've spoken on the telephone, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, again, Paskins against the Mishnah Berurah, he's cholik on the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says, Safik Bracha Lakel. The Aruch HaShulchan says, no. You make this Shechianu because it has nothing to do with the welfare of the individual, even if you've been in touch with them. It's upon the experience of being in their presence, seeing them face to face. And then he continues, Aval birkat mechaya meitim hu mitzad shatanit vadeh shu chai. Okay. Whereas the bracha of mechaya meitim, you make this blessing of, blessed are you Hashem who resurrects the dead, who revives the dead, because that's about the awareness that this person is alive. You haven't seen them in 12 months. Who knows what could have happened after 12 months? The Mishnah Berurah, as many others point out, that maybe it would be different if exactly when you see the person, when during these 12 months, before Rosh Hashanah, after Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yom Hadin, when we're judged. Okay, without getting into that right now, the Aruch HaShulchan explains that there's a fundamental difference between these two blessings that we began with in the Gemara and Brachot and Daf Nun Chet. Mechaye HaMeitim is said after 12 months to thank Hashem, wow, that this person is still alive. So if you've been in contact and you know that this person is alive and well, you need not make this blessing. You would not make this blessing. However, the Bracha of Shechianu is inherently different. That, according to the Aruch HaShulchan and others, is made to thank Hashem that, wow, I'm in this person's presence. We're seeing one another face to face, finally, after all this time. Okay, so it's very, very different bracha. But not everyone agrees with the Aruch HaShulchan. I mentioned being in touch via the phone and WhatsApp and all these things. But what actually, if you see the person's face, so it's interesting, the Aruch HaShulchan didn't have Zoom. He didn't have FaceTime. I didn't even have SMS, simple text messaging. Right? What did people do before cell phones? Well, they wrote letters. But Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva, where Rav Avadya Yosef asks the question, you know, what about a telephone? And he concludes, like the Aruch HaShulchan, that even if you've been in touch over the phone and heard the person's voice, you would still make the bracha of Shehechiyanu upon seeing the person. Because again, there's that simcha, that joy that's inherent in being in that person's presence, seeing them face to face, sitting down with them for a cup of coffee. And then at the end of the tshuva, there's an attached footnote where he cites Kedarko Bakodesh, a number of opinions, and seems to be in doubt whether one who sees his friend on television or on closed circuit TV, let's say, Shidur Chai, he writes, would make the blessing. And of course, you know, the nafka mina would be Zoom or FaceTime or WhatsApp or video chat, where, you know, maybe Rav Avad Yosef isn't sure if you would make the bracha because then you've seen them. Interesting, the lashon there of the Aruch HaShulchan is panim bipanim. You're seeing the person face to face. Well, what if you've already seen their face? So that's an interesting shaila. That's an interesting question. As I said, Rav Avad Yosef leaves it unresolved. He writes that he, you know, he's in doubt whether if you see them on the television screen, you would make that blessing. That's a tshuva in Yechaved Dat in the fourth volume. It's tshuva Yud Zayin. If anyone's interested, Siman Yud Zayin in the fourth volume of Yechaved Dat. I didn't put it here on the source sheets. But he paskins like the Aruch HaShulchan and answers the contemporary question of what if you're in touch with them over the telephone, and rules that you could still make the Shehechiyanu. But as I said, he writes in that footnote that he's in doubt whether one who sees his friend or a friend on television would make the blessing. The nafka mina would be Zoom, would be FaceTime, WhatsApp, video chat, Google Hangouts, Google Meet, whatever. Okay, so that's a real shaila. And you know, you might say safek brachot lahakel, or you might say no, that there's still a simcha inherent in seeing the person face to face, that even if you've seen them on Zoom, it's not the same thing, right? You know, those of you, Baruch Hashem, who have grandchildren here, some of you may even have great grandchildren. You know, a lot of the participants at the OU Center, Baruch Hashem, are blessed with grandchildren and even great grandchildren. And you may be in touch with your grandchildren or great grandchildren via Skype or Zoom or WhatsApp or FaceTime, but it's not the same as seeing them in person and experiencing that pleasure and embracing them. Right? It's not the same. So we'll have to come back to that, because I think you could make the argument that, you know, even if you have seen their face, being in their presence, if it causes that elation, if it creates that sense of joy, then you could argue that, yeah, maybe you should make that blessing. Because what we see is that there's an element of subjectivity, and this is very important. We're going to come back to this point. There's an element of subjectivity with regards to this bracha, the blessing of Shehechiyanu. It's different than other brachot where, you know, it's very clear whether you make this bracha or you don't make this bracha. If you perform a mitzvah, you make a bracha. If you, if it's a new holiday, you make that bracha. Maybe even if it's a new fruit, okay? But as you know, and as we've already mentioned, when it comes to brachot, we say safek brachot lahakel. We err on the side of caution if one is in doubt, if one is unsure or uncertain whether a blessing should be made. The Gemara in Brachot and Daf Lamed Gimel and elsewhere says, "Kol mevarech bracha she'inat tzricha over mishum lo tisa." Anyone who makes a blessing that's not necessary, what we would call a bracha levatala, violates, the Gemara says, the isur of lo tisa. This is very serious. Lo tisa shem Hashem elokecha lashav. Don't take Hashem's name in vain. Right? Very serious isur. So we're very careful when it comes to brachot. And so, as I already mentioned, many say that this bracha, this gemara in brachot and daf nun chet, this takana, this institution of reciting a blessing of Shehechiyanu, we're not seeing a friend after 30 days, is not observed today. We, for whatever reason, we're not noheg. We're not noheg. We don't follow that custom today. Or the minhag is not to say that bracha. bracha, as we have a number of brachot, as you know, where we're not noheg to say them. There's a whole host of brachot in Masechet Brachot that we don't say nowadays for whatever reason. So as you know, there are different types of shechian, of course. We make the shechian, as we've already mentioned, when it's a holiday, or when one is observing a seasonal mitzvah that is observed, as the language of the Gemara is, from time to time, okay, upon having a new fruit, wearing a new garment, a very significant purchase, and, as our Gemara told us, when having seen a friend, or when seeing a friend that you haven't seen in 30 days or more. Okay, so it's important to point out that there are different types of shechianu, and sometimes we assume that the shechianu is a chovah. It's an obligation. It's a formal obligation. In other words, when we have a holiday, you make the shechianu. Is it during kiddush? Women make it when they light candles. Okay, according to some achronim, maybe it's preferable to do it even for women to fulfill the shechianu upon hearing the kiddush, because Chazal instituted to be said with the kiddush to enhance it. The kiddush, the glass of wine, always enhances. That's why we make kiddush on wine, havdalah on wine, etc. But making a shechianu upon a holiday or upon performing a seasonal mitzvah, that is a chovah. Whereas other types of shechianu, a new fruit, a new garment, a purchase, or seeing a friend, that's a reshut. That's optional. It's not required. If one wants to make it, if one feels a sense of joy, if one is elated, he makes that shechian. Okay, so that's one point. And that's one reason why many poskim say that we do not make the bracha of shechianu nowadays when seeing a friend, because it's not a requirement, and since it's not a requirement, since it's only a reshut, it's optional, and maybe there's some sort of doubt, and we'll see what that means in just a moment, if one is in doubt whether one should say it or not. So then in that case, you know, maybe better not to say it. That's what the Achronim say. That's how they explain why the custom developed not to say this blessing. Okay? Also, there's an element, I've mentioned this already, we'll come back to this in greater detail. There's an element of subjectivity when dealing with when discussing the bracha of Shechianu. Okay? So, you know, Shechianu is somewhat subjective. Right? When one is happy, he makes the blessing. You don't make it over every single purchase. Why? Because certain purchases are routine, are mundane, they don't provide you with that same element of joy. You make it on a significant purchase because that provides you with that generates a sense of joy. So there's an element of subjectivity to the blessing of Shehechiyah. And as the post can point out, there may be a doubt whether this individual that you're seeing after 30 days is indeed a close friend or not. As we said, according to Tosfot and the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shulchan Aruch, we're talking about a close friend, but maybe it's not so clear whether this person is such a close friend or not, right? We distinguish between a friend and an acquaintance. Maybe this person is just an acquaintance. In addition, maybe there's a doubt, there's a safek, whether one feels a true sense of joy upon seeing the individual, right? So as the Achronim point out, you know, nowadays they write, yeah, we say hello to everyone. We're accustomed to smiling at everyone and flattering everyone. But they write that there's a concern whether a person really feels a true sense of joy when seeing the individual. So the custom developed, as I mentioned, not to make this blessing at all, as we are lenient when it comes to brachot. We say safek brachot lahakel. We err on the side of caution. Okay, so you have many achronim that point out that that nowadays we do not make this bracha. The minhag is not to make this bracha. You find this in the Yosef Ometz and the Pele Yoetz and the Eshel Avraham and the Ben Ishchai, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arabach in Lichot Shlomo. There's a rich discussion about this. And so many achronim agree that the custom nowadays is not to make the Hashechianu upon seeing an individual that you haven't seen in 30 days? Because again, there's this concern, are they a close friend? Is there really a sense of joy, right? Or at the very least, some of them point out that you wouldn't make the bracha b'shem u'malchut, using Hashem's name, right? So you could say, you know, Baruch Shehechiyanu, etc. You could make a bracha to say that, but that's not really the bracha, right? Okay, so again, we err on the side of caution. A story is told about the Briskerov, the Griz, Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, the Briskerov of Jerusalem, that Rav Rafal Cook, the Rav of Tveria for many years, once visited Rav Velvel, the Briskerov of Jerusalem, and he was excited to see his friend, Rav Velvel, one of the great poskim, one of the great Gaonim of the time, and he asked if he could make the Shehechiyanu upon seeing Rav Velvel. And Rav Velvel answered, no, that nowadays the custom is not to make the bracha. So Rav Rafal asked, well, I don't understand. If I can make the bracha on a new fruit, right? And if I can make the bracha over an apple, over a pear, over some cherries. I just got cherries the other day. Now the shuk is open, Machane Yehuda is open. I was zochet to get some cherries for my family. And we made the bracha of Shehechiyanu. Cherries are in season now. I may take my kids cherry picking once it gets a little cooler here, once the heat wave subsides. So Rav Rafal asks Rav Velvel Soloveitchik, if I could make the blessing on a new fruit, why not on seeing you? And Rav Velvel explained that there's an inherent difference, that the simcha upon eating a new fruit, or maybe even seeing a new fruit, it's a longer discussion, having a fruit on the table, there's an inherent joy that's built into that experience. It's objective. But seeing a friend is subjective. Okay? It's non-specific. It's imprecise. And therefore, Rav Velvel explained that the custom today is not to make the bracha of Shehechiyanu when seeing a friend after 30 days. Again, you could argue that, you know, Rav Velvel, Kedarko Bakodesh, the brisk approach in general is that everything has to be very specific, very precise. Everything has a shiur, right? You know, that's the halachic man, if you will. Maybe if you would feel a sense of joy inherently, or a true sense of joy when seeing a friend, then even nowadays you should make that bracha. Okay. So that's the question. But as I said, many achronim err on the side of caution. They say that the minhag nowadays is not to make that bracha. However, again, you could ask, well, you know, but what if a person is very elated, right? You know, Chazal instituted this bracha to be said, not to just sit in our gemaras, you know, on the shelf. They instituted this opportunity to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when seeing a person. They instituted this blessing to be said when you see a friend or a member of your family that you haven't seen in a long time. You know, what if a person genuinely is elated after emerging from this period of lockdown and quarantine and isolation, and now they're together with people again? You're going to deprive them of the opportunity to make that bracha? So again, many poskim would say yes. But take a look here at the Aruch HaShulchan. I'll put the Aruch HaShulchan back up on the screen. So the Aruch HaShulchan here in Seif Gimel. The Aruch HaShulchan here in Seif Gimel writes the following. And this is really very important for our discussion this morning. He writes, V'achshav, nowadays, mikili ma'od bivrachazo. We are very lenient when it comes to this blessing of Shehechiyanu upon seeing a friend following 30 days. When he says lenient, he means we're lenient in that we do not observe this blessing. We're lenient that we do not make it. Right? You could look at it as a chumrah or a kula, right? Are you lenient in the obligation of making it? Do you say that, you know, safek brachot lahakel, or are you being machmir maybe with the isur of lotisa? Okay, it depends on how you want to look at it. But the way the Aruch HaShulchan formulates it, he says, nowadays we're very lenient, very mekil when it comes to making this bracha, meaning that the minhag is not to say it, even if 30 days have passed and you see a friend or a member of your family. But then he continues and says, miu, however, mi sheyodea ba'atzmo, sheyesh lo ta'anu b'riyato. But if a person knows himself and knows that he would get a lot of joy upon seeing his friend, upon seeing the individual. V'sameach ma'od. And he's very happy. He's elated. The kol shekeinim, all the more so, kal v'chomer, if it's ben la'aviv, if we're talking about a son and a father, o av le'ben, or a father and a son, v'ach la'achiv, brothers, siblings, family members, kayotze b'hem, and the like, etc. In other words, if we're talking about family, kal v'chomer, he writes, tzarich levarich. One, interesting, look at the lashon he uses, tzarich levarich. One has to make the blessing. One is obligated to make the blessing. Okay, it's interesting. He begins by saying that nowadays we are lenient with the requirement to make the blessing. However, if a person is going to feel a sense of joy, a great sense of joy, of oneg, of delight, of simcha, upon seeing a friend and kal v'chomer, a member of their family, after 30 days or more have lapsed, then the Aruch HaShulchan writes, Sarich Levarich. One is obligated to make this blessing. And I think that's very important for our discussion this morning, because according to the Aruch HaShulchan, following months of being in lockdown, self-isolation, quarantine, I think it's obvious that one who feels a sincere sense of joy when seeing a member of their family or a close friend, if 30 days have gone by, they should certainly make this bracha. They should certainly make the shechianu. But you know, again, there's an element of subjectivity with this bracha, which we'll get into in more detail in a moment. And so, therefore, there are poskim that are mekil and say that we do not make this blessing nowadays. But you see, Aruch HaShulchan, he says that one should, if one is going to feel that real sense of joy in their presence. And I think, you know, you could argue as well, even if you've been in contact via the phone, and maybe even if you've seen, put in quotes, seen one another via Zoom, you could argue that nevertheless, there's a different type of joy that is experienced when being in that person's presence, when getting together. There's a joy. I mean, I don't know if we're going to hug or shake hands even yet, but there's certainly a simcha, there's a joy that is inherent in being in a person's presence. And so even if you've been in touch, as we said earlier, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, if you've been in contact, correspondence, writing letters, or if you know about the person's welfare, you'd still make the shechianu. According to the Chavidat, Rav Avadia Yosef, even if you've been in touch over the phone. But I think that even if you've, you know, quote unquote, seen the person via video chat, you would still make the blessing, because if you feel, and again, if you feel a sense of joy and elation, it's an opportunity to thank HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, but again, you know, at the same time, there are those who are cautious when it comes to making brachot, safek brachot lahakel. So you wouldn't make it over every, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry. You wouldn't make it over every acquaintance, you see. You'd make it, I think it would be reserved for, you know, seeing family and seeing very close friends. I want to touch on the concept of subjectivity when making the Shechianu, because, you know, it's something we touched on before, and it's actually very much related to the Inyane Dioma, beyond just making the Brach of Shechianu when we emerge from this period of lockdown and quarantine and self-isolation, etc. But it's related, as we'll see, to the Inyane Dioma of Yom Ha'atzmut and Yom Yerushalayim. Because, as you know, there was a discussion in the early days of statehood when Yom Ha'atzmut was created and was being developed and went through a number of different gilgulim. There was a discussion whether the bracha of Shechianu should be made. Okay? So, if you take a look here at the source sheet, here in source number 7, here's a passage from the Tur in Hilchot Pesach, Siman Taf Lamed Bet, where he's discussing the bracha that's made over b'tikat chametz, searching the home for chametz. Hakesher, what does that have to do with our discussion this morning? So you'll see in a moment. Okay? So he records it. We make the blessing, of course, Al Biur Chametz. There's a whole discussion why we say Al Biur Chametz. Okay, but not for now. And then he continues and cites the opinion of the Baal Ha'itur that one should also make the bracha of Shehechyan, as Bitikat Chametz is a mitzvah that's observed from time to time. So the Tur quotes the Baal Ha'itur, okay, and he writes, Ubaal Ha'itur, we don't paskin like this, by the way, but he quotes the Baal Ha'itur, Baal Ha'itur katav ika man de mevarech Shehechyanu, de hamizman lezman ka'ati, the ikaman de amar de lo barich, de halo kavale zimna. Okay. According to the Baal Ha'itur, right, one who's checking their home, they would make the bracha of Al Biur Chametz, and they also add the bracha of Shehechyanu, because it's a mitzvah that's performed from time to time. But there are those who say that, no, you don't make this blessing, you don't make the bracha of Shehechyanu. Why? Because the time of the mitzvah is not kavua, it's not permanent, it's not fixed. What do you mean it's not fixed? It is fixed. We have a mitzvah to check the home on the 14th. Okay, but as he continues, that's true. That's if you're home. But if a person leaves home but intends to be back, let's say for Chol HaMoed, they would still have to check their home even before the 14th of Nisan. Okay, so he says, sometimes you could argue that is this man kavua? Sometimes no, it's not kavua. Right? Maybe it's not specific. Maybe the takana, the institution to check the home, while Chazal instituted that it be done on the 14th, in certain cases they instituted that it be done outside of the 14th. Right? If a person goes away to a hotel even and leaves within a month, right? They have to check their home. They would do it without a bracha. If a person intends to return, even if it's longer than a month prior, they would also have to make bidikat chametz. They wouldn't do it with a bracha, but they would make bidikat chametz. So yes, they instituted bidikat chametz to be on the 14th of Nisan, on the night of the 14th, but, or la arbasar as the Mishnah begins, right? But nevertheless, he continues, deha mifarej bayam, v'yotzeh b'shayara, someone who leaves, goes off to sea, okay, they get on a ship, or they go on a shayara, a caravan. V'dato lachzor, and his intent is to come back home on Pesach. Afilu me'rosh hashanah tzarich livdok. Even if it's from the beginning of the year, they would have to check. U'mistab reshut hu. Right, so you see that it's a reshut, meaning that the Shehechyanu for the mitzvah of bedikat chametz is a reshut. If one wants to, they can. U'man debay mevarich. Okay, and the Tur leaves it that if someone wants to, they can. Someone who wants to make the Shehechyanu, according to the Tur, may make the Shehechyanu. So we're going to come back to this in a moment. You see that there's an element of subjectivity. And then he quotes his father, Vavi Aduni Arosh, Rabbeinu Asher, the father of the Tur, says what? He wrote, Katav She'ein Mevarech. No, he argues on the Baal Ha'itur, you do not make the bracha of Shehechyanu when checking your home. Why? Shebedikah hi l'tzorech haregel. Okay, the whole concept of bedikah is, you might call it almost a hechsher mitzvah. It's so that you don't have chametz in your home on the festival. And so therefore, we exempt, maybe the bracha that one would make, the bracha of Shehechyanu that maybe one would make on bedikah chametz, we exempt that blessing when we make the Shehechyanu on the Zman of the Regel. What does that mean on Zman of the Regel? When we make Kiddush on the first night of Pesach and we add the Shehechyanu there, that covers, any opinion that you would have to make the Shehechyanu for the mitzvah of Bedikat Chametz. So that's what he's saying. It's included there. But what's interesting is that the Tur leaves it open. He gives an option for one who wants to say Shehechyanu upon checking their home for Chametz. Interesting. So there, the Bach explains that, yeah, you know why? Because Shehechyanu is by its very nature subjective. There's an element of subjectivity to the Shehechyanu. If a person is happy, he makes the Shehechyanu. If a person is not happy, he doesn't make the Shehechyanu. If a person is a millionaire and they buy a new suit for a few hundred dollars, and it doesn't cause them any joy, so then, you could argue that they would not say the Shehechyanu, right? It's a reshut to say the Shehechyanu. Again, as I mentioned before, you have to distinguish maybe between certain types of Shekhinah where we say that they're a chovah versus others where it's a reshut. But for a person who a suit of clothes is a significant purchase and causes them joy, they would make the Shekhinah when wearing that suit for the first time. So the Bach, in a few places here, it's in Hilchot Pesach. Okay, he's commenting here on the tour that we just saw. He also writes this in Siman Chaf Tet. He writes, "Dire li, it appears to me lechalek d'linyan birkat shechianu dafka sheba al simchat libo shel adam shezachal lizman hazeh v'kayem hamitzvah v'ha vada yesh lo rishut levarech." He explains, why does the tour leave it open? Why does the tour say that, yeah, you know, if one wants to, there's a machloket aposkim, whether you say shechianu when checking the home for chametz. If one wants to, you know, arishut biyado, he may do so. That's what the Torah says. So the Bach says, how can you say that? Especially, again, we've been saying all along, safek brachot lahakel, we're concerned with the sur lo tisa. So if there's an opinion that says you don't make the blessing, why would you want to allow people to make the blessing? Right? So the Bach explains, because of the subjective nature of this blessing, that Shechianu is different. It appears to me, he writes, that concerning the brach of Shechianu, dafka sheba'al simchat libo shel adam, right? Shechianu is made dafka, specifically when we're talking about a person's joy, when it is generated by a person's joy, right? Shezachal lezman hazeh, lekayem mitzvah. Now here, this is interesting. This would maybe even apply to other types of Shechianu where we say it's a chovah, but it's still related to a person's joy. He's elated that he has come to this time. What is the Shechianu after all? We're thanking Hashem that Hashem has brought us to this moment. That Baruch Hashem, we've lived another year, and now now it's Pesach again, and now we can make the brach of Shechianu and fulfill these mitzvot. So a person, the Bach writes, makes this blessing out of joy. It's different than other blessings. There's an element of subjectivity. And so therefore, he explains, according to the Torah, a person can make the blessing of Shechianu when making B'dikat Chametz. He defends the Torah. The Beit Yosef says, how could the Torah allow this? Yeah. Just make blessings willy-nilly? No. The Bach says that ultimately the Shechianu comes from a sense of joy, and there's this element of subjectivity. Okay, now how is this related to the Inyan Yegdi Yoma? How is this related to Yom HaTzmut and Yom Yerushalayim? So I put here in source number 9 a tshuva of the Kol Mivaser, Rav Mishulam Rota. Okay, the Kol Mivaser of Mishulam Rota was a Galician Argon. He lived from 1875 to 1962. He was a Rav in the Ukraine and in Romania. He made Aliyah and was a Dayan in the Beit Hadin Agadol, Supreme Court, if you will. He was a member of the Moetzet HaRabinut HaRashit, and was considered a very important posek during the Hakamat HaMedina, the early days of statehood. And so this is a tshuva here in source number 9 that appears in the first volume of Kol Mevaser, his tshuvot, and he writes this tshuva, he addresses it to Rav Yehuda Leib Fishman Maimon, who many of you are familiar with. He lived from 1875 to 1962. Was one of the founders of Mizrahi, and was one of the signers of Israel's Declaration of Independence. And he was the first minister of religion, and wrote many Sfarim and received the Pras Yisrael. A very important individual. And he asks about making the bracha of Shechianu on Yom Ha'atzma'ut. Rav Maimon himself made the bracha of Shechianu upon the Hakamat HaMedina, upon the founding of the State of Israel. And in the early days following the founding of the state, the Rabbanut HaRashit, along with contemporary poskim, they wanted to give Yom HaTzmut a religious character. They wanted to imbue the day with religious meaning and significance and religious character. And so there was a big debate as to how to do that. Do you say Hallel? Don't you say Hallel with a bracha, without a bracha? Hallel at night or just in the morning? Okay. And as I said, Yom HaTzmaut went through a number of different gilgulim, right? It had to do sometimes with who was the chief rabbi. when Rav Gorin, we'll get to Rav Gorin a little later on this morning, when Rav Gorin was the chief rabbi, he instituted more things to do on Yom HaTzmaut. He was an expansionist, so to speak, when it came to Yom HaTzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim. But Yom HaTzmaut went through a number of different incarnations, okay? And, you know, and unfortunately, there wasn't, even in the early days of Sefer, there wasn't one singular voice as to how the day should be observed. And so therefore today, and I think this is somewhat tragic, there isn't one clear minhag on how the day of Yom HaTzmaut should be observed. As I said, some say halal with a bracha, some without, some at night, some in the morning, and some both at night and in the morning, right? Some do this, some do that. Some allow for haircuts and shaving. Some don't. Some allow live music. Some don't. So what's tragic is that the religious Zionist community who sees the religious significance in the day and the religious meaning in the day and believes that the day should have religious expression and the day, you know, should have, you know, some tokef, if you will, some religious character and be observed as a chag. So we haven't gotten to a consensus on how the day should be observed. And that's because, you know, as I said, you know, the chief rabbinate and the contemporary poskim were going back and forth. So one of the issues that was heavily debated, one of the issues that was debated back and forth, that it was the subject of so much conversation and controversy and dispute and debate, was this bracha of Shechianu, and should it be said, okay? And even today, some machzorim for Yom HaTzmaut have the bracha of Shechianu to be said at the night of Yom HaTzmaut, the beginning of Yom HaTzmaut. Some don't have it, some have it in parentheses, and they say some communities say it, some communities don't, okay? So there are different practices. I think most communities do not say the bracha of Shechianu on Yom HaTzmaut. But take a look at what the Kol Mevaseh writes. Now, you know, it's interesting. As I said already, there are different types of Shechianu. So, you know, if the bracha of Shechianu on Yom HaTzmaut is compared to the bracha of Shechianu on a holiday, so, you know, so there's this whole question of, well, is Yom HaTzmaut different than other types of holidays? It would be maybe more comparable to Chanukah, and the bracha of Shechianu on Chanukah is made upon lighting the candles on the mitzvah of the day, not necessarily the day itself. So is it appropriate to institute the bracha of Shechianu on the day of Yom HaTzmaut? You know, that's beyond our conversation this morning, beyond the scope of our topic this morning. But I do want to point your attention to some of the points that he makes here. What basically the Kol Mevaseh says is, again, Shechianu is subjective. And if a person is happy, if a person is elated, then yes, a person should say the Shechianu. And he draws on the Bach that we saw. We'll see in a moment. But take a look here at source number 9, where I've underlined. He writes, "B'davar ha-sheila odot birkat Shechianu b'yom ha-tzmut." Concerning the bracha of Shechianu, "Haynu b'yom shehukhriza tkumat medinat Yisrael," to be said on Yom HaTzmut, the day that it was declared that the state of Israel would be founded. Hine in safik shayom hahu heiyar. There's no doubt that this day, the 5th of Iyar, shenigba al yidei hamemshala v'chavrei haKnesset, shemivcharei rov haTzibur, which was proclaimed and established by the government and by the members of the Knesset. He puts in parentheses, who are the chosen of the majority of the Tzibur. That may actually have halachic significance without going into it now. V'rov gedolei harabanim, and the majority of rabbis, lachogoto bechol haaretz. The government instituted it to be celebrated. The Knesset, who are the representatives of the people, and he writes the majority of the rabbis of the land. Okay, and I'll just point out, by the way, and if anyone's interested, I published on this before, that in the early days following statehood, there were many great gedolim, even charedi gedolim, that celebrated Yom HaTzmaut. It was celebrated in the Haredi communities. We have newspapers of the day describing how Hasidim and Bnei Brak were dancing in the streets of Bnei Brak, singing Hallel, dancing with Strimloch and Bekishas. Okay? So he writes, this was established to be celebrated Bechol Haaretz, throughout the land, Zecher Lanes, in order to commemorate the miracle, Shel Tshuatenu V'Cheruteinu, of our freedom and our salvation. So he writes, mitzvah lasotos simcha v'yom tov lomar halel. Okay? He writes, it's a obligation, it's a mitzvah to celebrate the day as a yom tov and to recite halel. This is a tshuva where he's actually talking about the bracha of Shehechianu, but he also touches on halel and writes that one should say halel. That's not our topic this morning. What does he say about Shehechianu? So he basically says that, again, Shehechianu is something that is subjective. Okay? Here's mikomakom, adayin kashel lachnis atzmo b'safek bracha. V'kaimelan b'chol makom sheish chilukei deot b'bracha d'safek brachot l'hakel mishum chashash bracha levatala. He says, okay, there's a safek, there's a machloket, whether or not we should say Shehechianu on Yom Ha'atzmaut. He brings in all the sources without going into it now, but for our purposes here this morning, what he says next is very important. Ulama Bach, he cites the Bach in Siman Chavtet, Neor Chaim, Katav de machloket, bevirkat Shehechianu yachol levarech. If there's a doubt or a machloket concerning the bracha of Shehechianu, you can make a Shehechianu. Why? Because it's subjective. And we don't say that if there's a doubt, we err on the side of caution and don't make the blessing. Why? Because as we saw in the Bach, the bracha of Shehechianu is an expression of a person's joy, a person's happiness, a person's elation. And even if one is not required, one may do so. Harishud biyado. The eno over al lo tisa imu sameach umvarech lo itale al shechianu v'kima v'kayamo ad hazman hazeh. Wow. Ad shechio v'kayamo ad hazman hazeh. He says, it's not shayach to say that he's in violation of lo tisa, of taking Hashem's name in vain by making an unnecessary blessing. If the individual is happy, if he's elated, if he's making this blessing as an expression of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem has brought him to this moment in time. And again, for our conversation this morning, yes, there are many who say that we don't make the blessing of Shehechianu nowadays. If you haven't seen a friend in 30 days, safek brachot lahakel, we're cautious when it comes to brachot. But as we saw in the Bach, and this is what the Mevaser Tov, the Kol Mevaser from Mishalom Rata is drawing on, he's like, we don't say safek brachot lahakel when it comes to the brach of Shehechianu, because the brach of Shehechianu is subjective. And if a person indeed feels joy, he is allowed to make the brach of Shehechianu. Okay? And he goes a step further. And this is a big chiddush, that Rabbi Shalom Rata says that maybe according to the Bach, not only is he allowed to, not only is it a reshut, but maybe for him it's a chovah. For a person who feels a tremendous sense of joy, not only is it permissible, but it is required to make the Shehechianu. An incredible, incredible statement. Look what he writes next. Mikol makom, mi sheyodea ba'atzmo sheneh ein berkato reshut. So nevertheless, a person who knows himself and knows that he feels tremendous joy, not only is his blessing is not a reshut, it's not permissible, it's not optional. We don't say that it's just allowed, el chova, for him it's an obligation. Wow. If he knows himself that he's going to feel immense joy on Yom HaAtzma'ut, this is what he's writing, and doesn't make this blessing, he's called a sinner. He has failed to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? You know, it's interesting. The Gemara says that a person who says halal, I mentioned this before, in our shurim together, Gemara says that a person who says halal every single day is a mecharif megadef. He's a blasphemer. A person who gives thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says halal, makes a yontif out of every little thing that happens. So then that's inappropriate, the Gemara says. That is, in a sense, making light of what halal is about, or what the bracha of Shehechianu is about. But on the other side, the flip side is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Chizkiyahu could have been made Mashiach, but he failed to sing Shira. He failed to say Hallel, to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon the downfall of Sancheret. He failed to give that tremendous moment, that Yeshua, that Hatzalah, that tremendous elation. He failed to give it religious expression. So there's a balance here. But what the Kol Mevaser is saying is that Shehechianu, according to the Bach, we don't say Safek Brachot Lakel. If a person is truly happy, And so fake. There's no doubt he can make the bracha of Shechianu. And then he has this tremendous chiddush, and he goes further and he says, and if he doesn't make the Shechianu, when it is appropriate to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then he's called a choteh. Not only is it a reshut, but according to Kol Vavaser, it's a chovah in these circumstances, if he feels a tremendous sense of joy. This is incredible. Okay. Now you'll have to ask your rabbis, hey, why don't we say Shechianu on Yom HaTzmaut, or for that matter, Yom Yerushalayim as well. Okay. And he concludes by saying, Ha'olem mikol zeh ledina, af ki ein lahatil chova al kol ish sheyeh tzarich levarech Shechianu b'Yom HaTzmaut. He's against making a formal takana that every single individual make the Shechianu on Yom HaTzmaut. Again, the Shechianu is subjective. He's against enforcing this, imposing this on every person. Aval, but nevertheless, kol mi sherotzeh levarech harishut biyado. Anyone who wants to, go ahead. Harishut biyado. He's allowed to. The ein bazeh shum chashash shel bracha levatala. And there is no, according to the Kol Mevaser, there is no concern whatsoever of a bracha levatala. The kol mi sheyodeh ba'atzmo sheineneh v'sameach b'morah shel tekumat medina v'yom hahu shugbal yom tov ein berkato reshut ela chova. And then he concludes and says that anyone who knows himself and knows that he's going to feel a tremendous sense of joy and elation on Yom HaAtzmaut, celebrating the establishment of the State of Israel, celebrating that tremendous miracle, that miracle that is the birth of the State of Israel after 2,000 years of longing. Not only for him is it permissible, he writes, but it's an obligation, it's a chovah. That's an incredible statement. Again, you'll have to ask all of your rabbis, so Nunu, Rabbi, why don't we make Shechianu in our shul on Yom HaAtzmaut? Okay, maybe some of you do. This week, of course, is Yom Yerushalayim, and that battle cry of Matagur, Harabayit Biyadenu, is forever seared into our collective consciousness. And along with it, the image of Rav Gorin, with those heroes, those soldiers, those tzanchanim, those paratroopers, liberating the Kotel and Harabayit. The image of Rav Gorin with his fill in with his little Sefer Torah, with his shofar at the Kotel. And just as the sound of that battle cry of Matagur, Harabayit Biyadenu, is forever seared in our collective consciousness, so too that blast of the shofar of Rav Gorin. It's recorded. We have the archival footage and the accompanying audio. You could probably find it on YouTube, where Rav Gorin is blowing the shofar and he's making the bracha of Shechianu. Okay, he's making the bracha of Shechianu. And you could ask, wait a minute, you know, safek bracha lakel. Why is he saying Shechianu upon standing at the Kotel? Again, because Shechianu is an expression of our thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bringing us to this tremendous moment. It's generated by that feeling of joy and elation. Okay, and there's another famous anecdote concerning Rav Gorin and the bracha of Shechianu that in the years that followed the Hakamat HaMedina, I don't know exactly when this was or where this actually took place. I've seen different versions of the story. Some say it took place on some kibbutz. Some say it took place in Beit Knesset Yishurun. If anyone knows, I'm happy for you to please clarify for me and correct me and tell me, inform me where this story actually took place. It's a famous story that, you know, as I mentioned, Rav Gorin is very outspoken in giving both Yom HaTzmud and Yom Yerushalayim religious character, and so he was an expansionist and instituted additional tefillot and a Torah reading and even a half Torah. And, so the story goes that Rav Gorin was somewhere in some shul on Yom HaTzmaut, on the eve of Yom HaTzmaut, and he led the davening and he made the bracha of Shechianu b'shem u'malchut with God's name, and he said Hallel and presumably made a bracha as well. And according to the story, the gabbai afterwards comes over to him and is so distraught and so upset. He says, now how could you, you know, making these brachot, you made a Shechianu, you said Hallel with a bracha, the shem of Malchut, God's whole name, right? It's a bracha Shein Atzricha, bracha Levatala, right? Lotisa. And Rav Gorin says, no, don't worry, don't worry. And he shows him his tie. He says, no, it's a new tie. It's a new tie. So I had in mind when I made the Shechianu, right? I had in mind my new tie. And like we say, when there's a doubt concerning making the Shechianu, the second night of Rosh Hashanah, for example, well, so we have a new fruit on the table, Okay, or we're wearing a new garment. And since there's a doubt over whether we make the Shachian on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, if it's its own holiday, if it's two days and each day requires a Shachianu, or if it's like one long day and maybe you wouldn't say Shachianu, okay, that's the subject of debate. So therefore, you know, we have a fruit on the table or we wear a new garment. Although we do say that if a person doesn't have a fruit or a new garment, they would still make the Shachianu. But so Rav Goren answers the Gabbai, and, you know, he addresses his concerns and he says, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm wearing a new tie and I had that in mind. Okay, so that pacifies the Gabbai. The Gabbai leaves the shul. And Rav Goren turns to someone and says, this Gabbai, you know, for him, a tie is enough to warrant the Shechianu. A few inches of cloth, that's okay. You can make a Shechianu a few inches of cloth, and for him, it's okay. But 2,000 years of yearning and longing and hoping, and here with Zocha, we've merited to establish a state in our homeland. That doesn't warrant the Shechianu. So again, you know, you can ask yourselves, when is it appropriate to make a Shechianu? When isn't it appropriate to make a Shechianu? We know, hey, do we say it? Don't we say it? What's the minhag? Okay, so you have to evaluate it. But as we saw, there's certainly an element of subjectivity. And if a person is feeling elated, is feeling joyous, then a Shechianu is warranted. And I think that certainly following months of being in lockdown, being alone and in self-isolation and quarantine. I mean, I know people who were Nebuch alone by themselves for Yanta, for Pesach, for the Seder, people in Chutz La'aretz that were alone for 3 days. And, you know, they might be alone again for 3 days over Shavuos. So I think that certainly anyone who feels a real sincere sense of joy and elation when seeing a family member or a close friend following this period, you know, I think certainly it's warranted to say the bracha of Shechianu, b'shem uv'malchut, with Hashem's name, expressing gratitude and giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gift of being able to be together in person once again. I'll unmute you and take any questions. Okay, how do I do that? Okay, participants, unmute all. Okay, you should all be unmuted. I'll take any questions. No questions. Okay, have a wonderful day. I wish you all a happy Yom Yerushalayim. Take care.
Okay,
be well.
Chag Sameach.